We would like to welcome the radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Please join us on Saturday, April 20th for our next community meal. It runs 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and everyone in the community is invited. We would love for you to join us for food and fellowship here at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Today's sermon will be given by Pastor Gary Dyer, entitled, "And We Should Know." Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Yeah. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God's forsaken, He also presented to be confirmed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. The word of God to the people of God.
Amen. Well, can you hear me all right? Sound loud. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you don't need that loudspeaker thing. But I said, well, we're on the radio. So bless those on the radio. Somebody said, well, is anybody listening? Well, the time before I was here, and it's a great honor to be here. Thank you. And I went into Kentucky Fried Chicken, and the lady that works there was Mary, and she said, I heard you on the radio. So it's not me they're here. You understand, I'm not about me today. It's about who? Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. So somebody's listening. In Isaiah 55 and 11, it said, the word goes out, and it doesn't return void. Everybody hear that? So when you're talking about Jesus, when you're speaking the word of God, wherever you're at, I don't care. This is the mission house. This is where you come and get praise and worship to God, get filled up, and then your mission field is out there. Everybody know that? I know this from school. Amen. So my mission field is out there, but people are listening to us today, listening to the Word of God. And actually, when I talked to your pastor, I said, we should know. Bible students, we should know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. Love Him. All He ever asked of me is that I would love Him back. Now, He loved us in the beginnings. Everybody know that? I used to think God's way off somewhere, and I was taught to pray as a kid. But I began to lose that in a rebellious attitude. And then when I went to war, that didn't help. That got a little more rebellious. But I guarantee you, in the foxholes, your prayer life began to resurface. So you may know what I'm talking about if you've been through tragedies like I have or you have, losing a son or your house burning down, or you will talk to somebody. And we know that all... I said, how can that be? I was up this morning and I try to clean up, and you do all that, but I'm trying to clean up, ask God to clean up the inside. Is anybody with me? Only He can clean up my heart and give me a heart after Him and the mind of Christ. I pray that. God, give me your heart and give me your mind to start thinking like you. I was up early this morning around 4:30, and I just sat there and I said, God, I don't understand why they were allowed to go in and kill Jewish people. And then I heard this, lean not to your own understanding. I said, what I lean on? Well, we sing, leaning on the arms of the Lord, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Well, who am I going to lean on? I guarantee you, God is, I want you to know that He loves you. You were singing was great. That's why I didn't sing very loud. And you know, when I look around, I'm not here every Sunday, and sometimes we get acclimated and used to the building. We get used to the... I look at the stained glass and I thought, wow, how beautiful. how beautiful is this place that we get to worship in? Does everybody see that? And if everybody knew that, this place would be full. So it's our job being the sheep to go out and invite somebody else in. So when they see me out there, what are they looking at? Now, a lot of people, brother, look, he said, I remember you. I said, oh, God. Is that B.C. or A.D.? And sometimes they say, well, you used to do this and you did that, but you're not that way now. I said, well, who did the work? Who did the change? Who made the change in this guy? It was the Holy Spirit that came into my life one day and radically transformed, woke me up, and I realized that I was a bad dude. But God visited me in the war out on the battlefield. I've shared that with you before. Where nobody else would be, I cried. I said, God, I don't want to die in this hellhole. That's not cussing. I said, I just don't want to die in this hellhole. And on my knees at that bank that day, I had a visitation from, call it angels. Whoever it was came and rescued me. But before he rescued me, he demanded or commanded in a way that I had to go and rescue somebody else. Anybody with me? Now this is a spiritual story. You got to understand. Everybody understand that? I wanted off the battlefield in the worst way. But before I got off, I had to pick somebody else up and bring them with me. Everybody understand that? I'm trying to slow down, so I'm making it simple so I'll understand it. So I'm not getting out of here without bringing Gordon somebody with me. Whoever that may be, I want to bring somebody with me. Somebody said, well, you need to do more. I said, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, we're doing foster parenting again. And got the sweetest little girl, 3.5 years old. And she came to church and she walked up there up front and looked at the singers. She said, oh. She said, they're so beautiful. Do you see what a child sees? Is anybody with me? The children that you teach down here, they see the beauty. They see, oh, man, how beautiful they are. And I thought, well, it's just 4 lady singers. Somebody get with me. Come on, I'm used to noise. But a child sees the beauty of God. And that's the way he said we're should to be. We should be that way. We should know that God loves us. No matter what we've been or doing, God loves you. Does that make sense? And he knew me in my mother's womb. He knew you in your mother's womb. Everybody here. And he allowed us to live. Thank God all these years, brother, that he allowed us to live to do what we're doing. All I'm doing today is I didn't sign up for anything. You know, I said, I'm not going to run a food pantry. Yes, you are. I'm not going to pastor a church. Yes, you are. First he saved me, and then he began to call me, and then he began to send me. I said, I'll never go back to Vietnam, and I'll never fly again because I was in the infantry, and they was going to kill me in a helicopter. I said, I'll never go back. 40 years later, he said, guess where you're going? He said, you're going back. I said, what? So be careful. Be careful what you say. He said, out of your mouth, what's coming out of here is in your heart. Is anybody with me? What's coming out of here is in your heart. And I found out after all the things that I've been through, and I've said this before and I think I get under attack, but I never got mad at God. Is anybody with me? I never got mad at God. That's not bragging. It just never dawned on me. When I watched my house burning up, my wife was crying. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I had no idea. I was just saying, God. But I never got mad at God. The fireman that got done, he come out, he took his mask off. He said, this is the hottest fire we've been in for a long time. And I got a little tear in my eye, but something rose up in me. Come on, somebody. Something rose up inside of me. The Spirit said, I said, well, the devil's got me crying today, but I'll be laughing at him tomorrow. I didn't plan this. Anybody with me? I know I'm getting a little bit loud. Don't get scared. But it just came out. Is anybody with me? In tragedy, something came out. What's in my heart came out. So if you go by 930 Rebecca Court today, there's a brick home where was wood. Now, I'm not bragging, and it's bigger, and it's wider, it's taller, simple air. What I'm saying today, God wants to give you the best. Come on, He wants to give you the best, and He wants you to do great things in Him. Because in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, He said, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. I give you the authority. Now, when I prayed for my sisters that can't be here today, we prayed on the phone. I said, I'm expecting you to be healed. And begin to sing like a bird. She's not here. But I'm still expecting Mary Ellen to begin to sing like a bird. Come on, it's faith. I woke up this morning thinking, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how can you hear unless you have a preacher? Now, I got people, brother, that I went to school with, look at me and said, how in the world did you ever get saved? I said, it must have been God. But somewhere in there, brothers and sisters, when you're born, God gives you a measure of faith. It's in the Bible. He gives you a measure of faith, Tony Ann, right? I almost called her Tony Sue. It looked like a Tony Sue, but I'll Tony Ann. But he gave her a measure of faith. Or you probably wouldn't be here today. But he gives us that measure of faith in him. And he gives that because the people that are listening out there, they're hearing the word of God today that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Church of Christ, a little boy I was, and the teacher looked at me and she said, Jesus loves you. She's dead and gone. I don't remember her name, but that stuck with me. Is anybody with me? It stuck with me. Mama taught me 8:30 every night. Lay me down to sleep. Now I pray the Lord my soul to keep. She taught me that little childlike prayer. You say, well, he said, be like a little child. And suddenly along the way it became, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Listen to me. He wants his kingdom going down here. Thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. What's going on in heaven? Ain't nobody sick in heaven. They're not up here going, well, I got to go to church again. No, we get the privilege. Think of that. If all these thoughts came to me this morning. I wish I had an hour. I was watching that clock up. Ding, ding. Slow the clock down, Lord. Hallelujah. The clock makes me nervous, I guess. But you know, the reason I say we've got it so good is because I had the privilege. Again, not bragging, I had the privilege to preach the gospel in Africa twice, Mexico five times, Vietnam twice since the war, and we preach at the dumps. We don't go to fancy buildings because I didn't see any. We preach at the dumps. Everybody know what a dump is? A 30-year dump in the Philippines is massive. And every now and then, firewood will pop up out of fire. And the people that live around it, maybe 10,000, they said, they live in abject poverty. And I walked by and I thought, phew. I said, man, how can they live like that when they, two ladies sitting over here and there's a little wooden wall and over here's the hogs. Woo. But we were taking the word of God to them. Is anybody with me? When you've seen abject poverty, when you've been to the dumps and preached, I get over here and I say, man, we got it made. Brothers and sisters, my first mission trip, I went back to Cummins. I worked at Cummins then. I pushed a drinking fountain. And the guy walked by and he said, Dyer, what are you doing? I said, look. He said, so what? It's a drinking fountain. But look, anytime I want cold, clear water, all I can do is push the button. So what? I said, I just come from the dumps. You know what I'm talking about? We should be the most thankful people on earth. Thank God I've got a place to worship and it ain't raining on me. We should know. We should know, he said, that all things work together for good. How can that be? But I've learned after all these years, brothers and sisters, they work for the good to get me to be with Jesus. I probably got a few more things to go through, but He's trying to get me to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I want to tell you today that I care about everyone in this building. You may not even like me. But before I die, I want you to know how I feel. I want you to know you're a wonderful singer. Don't show up at the casket and say, oh, he was a great guy, but he was just a big loudmouth. I might be. I wish I had a whole lot of time, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you. He said, when you go ahead and read about those things, in verse 31, now I'm in Romans chapter 8. That's a super 8, I call it. Super 8 is Romans chapter 8. And we know that God loves us, right? I understand this. I'm used to an amen corner. Hallelujah! Amen! But he said in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How could that be? Wow. I told the chaplain for 10 months, I said, God ain't in this hellhole. You're out of your mind. I was overseas. I was in an infantry unit. He would come out and tell me, oh, God loves you. I said, no, he don't. God's right here. I said, no, he ain't. I said, God's in America. See, Mama taught me to pray, but I said, God's in America. There's no way he could be here today. But 10 months into combat, when I cried out, everybody understand crying out. Oh, God. Now, when you go through bad things, Brother Gordon, what do? Oh, Lord, my house burnt down. Mm-hmm. No, we cry out, don't we? I said, oh, God. Well, he was listening, and he ain't deaf. And then I began to sing a song after I got saved. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. He was in Vietnam, and I didn't know it. I just did a funeral. We did a veteran yesterday and a veteran Friday. And I said, I wanted Mr. Henry, my sister Linda's father-in-law. I said, did Glenn know how I felt about him before he died? And I did Stevie Blackwood's, a friend of mine, the other day. I don't know if you know Stevie. And I couldn't believe he had passed. And I told his wife, did Steve know how I felt about him before he died? And she said, he loved you, Gary. Am I making sense? So please, your dad, your mom, your wife, hug somebody and tell them you love them. My wife got with me the other day. She does these face-to-face things. Now, God does those things. She gets face-to-face, hand-to-hand, right here. She said, Gary, you're hearing, but you're not listening. I said, but. She said, no, just be quiet and listen. I said, okay. But she does it lovingly. And when she gets done, she tells me what I needed to hear. Is anybody with me? She can't be here today. She won't give up her class. She teaches a class at church. And she's so dedicated to those kids. Does this make sense? She loves me, but I think she loves the kids more. They're listening. You that teach the kids. We pastored a church at Haleysburg one year. And Farron, he's 27 now, but he was about this tall. And after church, we were all talking. They were shaking hands, and I kept feeling this. Finally, I said, what? And it was Farron. He was about 8 years old. He said, Dad, I want to be just like you. I said, ooh, I got to get a lot better. Ooh. You understand what I'm saying today? So they listen and they learn about us. Sometimes Farron today, he'll say, Dad, you're embarrassing me. He said, hold on. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, Dad, you're out in public. See, I don't care anymore. Whether you like me or not, I'll holler, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and thank you, Jesus. Because we're here for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. He has always been and he always will be God. He's the first, he's the last, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning and the ending. He is God, he always will be, and he always is God, no matter what. Well, isn't that something? Super 8. If you get a chance, tear up Romans chapter 8. Just look at that. In verse 15 it said, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba, Father." Abba, Father. That's in the Bible. I call him Father. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And let us not be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For he's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." He's my God at home. He's in my car now. The changes of this guy, I'm still amazed. Somebody called me the preacher the other day, and I thought, boy, that's odd. Because I used to be one of the worst, I think. I'm a chaplain at the VFW because the old fellow died, and I told him I'd help him for a little while. I've been helping for about 10 years now. But we were sitting in there one day. We meet to do funerals, veteran funerals. And I was sitting there, and I looked over, and the commander was staring at me. You ever have people stare at you, make you uneasy? So finally I looked over and I said, "Rick, are you all right?" And he said, "God picked some of the worst people." I don't know if you're with me today. You know what I took back to Vietnam on that first trip back after the war? No rifle, no hand grenades, no bullets, no artillery, no mortars. I took this. This is the most powerful weapon that's ever been given to you. This is the most powerful weapon. How can you say that? Well, it says in the Bible, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Everybody knows that scripture. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And what? The Word is God. And so if you're a believer and you speak the Word, in 55 it goes out and it doesn't return void. So if somebody's a cousin, you just say, "Hey, I love you in Jesus' name." They're going, I know what I'm talking about. These four-way stops, I've got a lot of the international peace sign. I'm sorry. I call it the international peace sign. It's my turn. I said, "Well, I was here first." I said, "I love you anyway." Yeah, I guess I can say this on the radio. Yeah, he's already retired. My friend Tim Torborg, when he was on the city cop, I was pulling up to Cornerstone, just a stop sign. Boy, they were like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa," for a siren. I thought, "Oh, golly, what did I do wrong?" Because I wasn't speeding or nothing. I thought, "What did I do wrong?" And I opened the corner to Tim. He said, "Why don't you go to heaven?" I said, "Okay." You understand? That boy's saved. Now, he'll write you a ticket if you need one, but he'll let you go if he shows mercy. He will do that. I've been with him. Glory to God. I'm so excited to be here. I can just spit. Mama used to say, I can spit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So in verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself," that's the Holy Spirit in us, "that makes the changes. I'm not perfect, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul did that, didn't he? What did Paul do? When he was Saul, he killed Christians. He put Christians in jail. He was a bad dude. He cussed a lot and carried on. But he thought he was doing God a favor. And then God reached down and knocked him off his high horse. That's where that came from. Pow. And when he hit the ground, he was blind. He couldn't see physically. He was blind and scared to death. And they took him into town. And a Jewish man sent by God went and prayed for him. When his eyes opened up, he said, "Now I know who God is." That happened to me. Now I know who God is. Is it all right if I talk about things? My sister Peggy, some of you know her, was in a serious car wreck. Some alcoholic drunks hit her, just about killed her. Thank God. She was director of paramedics, so she retains all that medical knowledge. She can walk again. Thank God. Amen. But she said, she went to church, but she told me, she said, Gary, I knew about God. I knew about it. But she said, in the wreck, angels came. Is anybody with me? Somebody said, I don't believe in angels. We'll talk to my sister. She said, angels came into the wreck, and I knew I was going to be all right. And she said, she had to go through all kinds of surgeries and pain, but she knew she's going to be all right. But if you ask her today, she said, I knew about God, but now I know Him. Now I know Him. Is anybody with me? I knew about God in Vietnam, but now I know Him. Nobody wants to show up in a place like that and say, come on, I'm going to help you. Is anybody with me today? So we're going to go through stuff. We go through stuff, don't we? Probably somebody in this building probably going through some things right now. You're going, man, how am I going to get out of this? I'm going, well, what am I going to do, God? My boy wrecked my truck the other day. I thought, that's my truck. He wasn't hurt, but I said, that's my truck. You can't hardly replace a 5-speed long bed. I said, that's my truck. Well, it's just a truck. When my house burnt down, I lost everything, all my war stuff, and I thought, well, I didn't need it anyway. Is anybody with me? Once I get over I didn't need it anyway, I ain't taking it with me. When I'm laying in that box, they're not trying to put, oh, here's your bank account, Gary, and here's your favorite shirt, and here's your, oh yeah, here's the money you was holding on to. They ain't sticking that in there, are they? Somebody get with me today. I'm excited. Hallelujah. I ain't taking nothing with me but what God has put in me, because when He comes to get me, that will take flight, it says. Hallelujah. I'm running out of time. Well, I get to heaven. Thank God. This ain't going to be there. Everybody see that? I got to be there, and I got to be over there to get this. We got to be done here in a few minutes, and I got to get here, and I got to get. And Jesus said, "Rest, they that rest in the Lord, they that." In fact, I sat up here a while ago, and He said, "Be anxious for nothing." Are you anxious today? I said, "I wish you'd shut up. It's time." He said, "Be anxious for nothing," but do we find ourselves getting anxious? I said, well, I got to be here by 10. I was out of harvest, dropped paper. I said, I got to be there by 10. Don't let it. Now listen to this. I'm just about to close. He said, verse 17, Romans chapter 8. And if we're children, then we're an heir, and we're an heir of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That means I'm going to get something. Listen to that. Joint heirs. If we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified in Him. Know that He loves me. Come on, somebody. And verse 18 says, for I reckon. Now that's Kentuckian. I reckon. Yeah. One day I was at class, and the guy was there from Wales. And I said, well, just directly. I said, what is directly? I said, well, just a minute and I'll be there. That's Southern talk, right? I'm a Southern boy. I said, just. I'm not a professional speaker, but I'm giving my heart today. That's all I've got to give you. I saved a nasty wretch like me. Thank God Almighty Jesus. So I could come back and talk about Him. For I reckon, verse 18 says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Now you got to hear these words. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, that's today, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So what's going on down here, brothers and sisters, is so minute. It took me a while to get over a loss of a son, but I believe he was ready to meet the Lord. It took me a little bit to get over the house burned down. It didn't take me very long to get over the kid wrecking my truck because he wasn't hurt. You understand where I'm going with this? For I know today that if I love Him, that's what the Word says, for we know. Let me read it again. I'll just read it out of the book. Romans chapter 8. Amen. It says, for we know, if we know that we know that He loves us. Can you testify in these last couple of minutes? Can you know today, before I leave this pulpit, that He loves you? Everybody knows that. If you don't, I'm messing up. He loves you. I don't care what's going on. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And somebody said, how do you know He does? He proved it. Jesus went to the cross with 9-inch nails through here. Think of that. And He was beaten beyond recognition, but He took 9-inch nails through His hands and feet, through His feet. My feet are sensitive. And He did it because He loves you. If I've said anything all today, let it know that He loves you. Whether your foot hurts or your head hurts or your things ain't right, He loves you anyway. And all He asks of Gary is that I love Him back. Is that understandable? When I preach, I got up here trembling a little bit because I stand before an almighty God. But I guarantee you what, a man that preaches or a woman, you got a pastor, please pray for her because we face what we minister. If I minister about love today, I'm going to face it. Because somebody's going to come up and say, hey. You say, I don't believe that. Can I give me another minute? Just one more minute. A truck driver at TNA truck stop called my son Farron. Don't know how he got his number. He said, I'm a trucker, overhaul, going there with Minnesota and everywhere. But he said, I got some sugar out here I want to give to the food pantry. Oh, wow. So Farron called me and said, Dad, get out there. There's a trucker out at TNA that's got cereal for the food pantry. I said, really? How'd that happen? So I drove out there and I got this van out there. When I pulled up, I said, a green truck with a white trailer, and I couldn't see anybody. Then I saw this little fella get out, and I went over and I said, hey, are you the one with the cereal? Yes, I am. So he gave me 13 cases of cereal. I just had to sign a paper that went to Eye Care Ministry. 13 cases of cereal. And I thanked him and thanked him. I said, I'm just 3/4 of a mile down the road here at church. He said, what time's your church? I said, 10 o'clock. I said, if you'll come at 9, we've got coffee and donuts, and we have a Bible study before church. And then we go in and worship God from... we don't use this at Harvest, I'm sorry. He said, okay. Well, guess who walked in this morning at 9 o'clock? I dropped off paper. Here comes the trucker in. I said, thank you for coming, man. I hugged that guy up. Do you understand? I don't know if I'm getting through today. Man, when you sow seed... You expect corn, right? You sow corn seed, you expect... So you guys are actually farmers. Wow. Just... You say, well, so 13 cases of cereal to a food pantry is fantastic. I know I told him I'd shut up. God is so good. Go tell somebody that you love them. Hug your wife, hug your husband, hug your mama, your daddy, your children. I'm not commanding it. I'm just saying I'm doing it. Because I looked at Steve and I said, does he know how I felt about him before he died? Friend of mine, little Blackwood boy. And his wife said, he did, Gary, he loved you. I said, thank God. So I'm going to be quiet. And I tell you, in that love, this is a place that don't ever let anything hold you back from the altar. Don't let the devil tell you that if you come up here, people's going to look at you. Just, I don't care. My foot hurts. This is just a place when you come and I surrender.